How do you put a price tag on a piece of land when its entire history is just tangled up in decades of systemic inequality? I mean, usually appraising real estate is just numbers and dirt, you know, square footage, soil quality, comparable sales. But if you throw in a national land reform program, suddenly that simple math just shatters.
Yeah, absolutely. Because to figure out what a property is truly worth in that context, you had to look way beyond the physical dirt. You're essentially trying to quantify history.
Right. And that brings us to today's deep dive. We're getting into the May 2000 Department of Land Affairs, or DLA, handbook on property valuation. Our mission for you today is to decode how South Africa actually calculates just and equitable compensation during land reform.
Which turns a standard appraisal into this massive constitutional equation. The handbook requires valuers to follow a pretty strict two-step process. So, step one is finding a mathematical baseline, which is the fair market value.
Okay, simple enough.
Well, the catch is they have to calculate this baseline while completely pretending the land reform process itself doesn't exist.
Oh, right. They call this the point gourd principle. It's a really wild concept. Imagine appraising your house based on your current neighborhood, but legally having to pretend a new government highway isn't about to be bulldozed straight through your living room.
That's a perfect analogy. The logic there is entirely about protecting the baseline. I mean, if the mere rumor of government expropriation drives local property prices down, the owner shouldn't be penalized for that panic.
So the valuer just quarantines the market value from the politics.
Exactly. It's a pure hypothetical. But once that pristine baseline is set, the strict economics just go out the window. Step two brings in Section 25, Subsection 3 of the South African Constitution.
And this is where valuers adjust that baseline market value using non-market factors, right? Like the current use of the property.
Yes. Think about a farm where labor tenants live. Historically, farm owners might have allowed tenants to live on a small patch of land, and in exchange, the owner got extremely cheap or even free labor. So if an owner benefited from that implicit wage for years, that economic advantage is factored in, and it sometimes reduces the overall compensation the state pays for the land.
Because the owner essentially already extracted value from the property through that unpaid labor. That makes total
It
sense.
does. But then the valuer also has to act as a historical auditor. They have to track down past state investments. Like, did the current owner buy the land below market rate from the government? Or did they get a reduced interest loan from the Agricultural Credit Board in the 1980s?
Or even like a government subsidy to put up fences.
Yeah, exactly. Fencing
No,
subsidy.
wait, I have to stop you there because the logistics of this sound completely impossible. If you are a valuer looking at a farm today, how do you even calculate the present day value of a fencing subsidy granted 30 years ago?
That is the ultimate challenge. Valuers are forced to do the math of history. They have to translate those past subsidies into present-day values using inflation indices.
Okay, so how do they do that?
The handbook gives them two main tools. There's the Consumer Price Index, which tracks general inflation, and the Land Price Index, which specifically tracks agricultural land values.
And depending on which index you choose, the results are staggering. There's this example in the handbook where a farm owner receives a 400,000 rand acquisition subsidy back in 1970.
Right. And if the valuer updates that 1970 subsidy using the land price index, it scales relatively smoothly with the property.
Okay.
Let's say the property's baseline market value today is 8.5 million rand. The historical debt scales proportionally. But if they are forced to use the consumer price index, things explode.
Because general inflation in South Africa over those decades soared, while agricultural land values often stagnated or grew way slower.
You nailed it. That divergence is the key. Under general CPI inflation, that initial 400,000 rand debt balloons to 8.6 million.
Wait, really? 8.6
Yeah,
million?
8.6 million rand.
So the 8.6 million historical debt completely wipes out the 8.5 million market value of a property today. The expropriated owner wouldn't just lose the land legally, they'd owe the state 100,000 rand.
Exactly. The sheer choice of an inflation index can literally bankrupt a landowner or secure their wealth. It really just proves that a property's value is built on a massive, hidden foundation of historical state support.
You can start to see why appraising property in this context is so monumental. It requires meticulously untangling decades of invisible historical subsidies to find true equity.
It forces us to ask what value even
It
means.
really does, which leaves us with a fascinating thought to ponder. If every piece of private property in the world were rigorously audited for historical state subsidies and systemic advantages, how many of our modern market values would instantly collapse?